My guest today is Stan Schultes. Stan, how are you?
I'm fine, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're big into something called a bar camp, right?
Yes.
You organize this. What's a bar camp?
Well, a bar camp has nothing to do with bars, actually. It's something that was started in Southern California a decade or so ago. But what it's become is an international community phenomenon, basically. It's an unconference type event where the agenda is not set in advance. You have a board rush in the morning, and the agenda evolves during the day. So, you know, you put up a schedule that's got the times and the rooms, and then people put sticky notes up and rearrange things during the day and convene panels and new talks, you know, get their genesis just from conversations that people have. So it's like an open spaces between sessions, and a lot of the real interesting stuff that happens in a bar camp happens in those in-between session things where people are talking and getting to know one another. So my partner and I, Sarah Hand, started this 5 years ago in Sarasota, Florida. And we kind of had a concept of what we wanted to do long term. Actually, there was four partners originally, but Sarah and I do the most of the planning and most of the events and things. So we've taken the bar camp kind of beyond what a traditional bar camp often does, and that's run one-day event a year.
Okay.
We have two-day events a year, plus we have lunch and learns, and we have evening socials, and we have education seminars, and we have partner events with other regional organizations.
And you have a day job too, right?
Yeah, I have a day job. and so does Sarah, for that matter. But one of the things that we had talked about 5 years ago when we were starting was our dream was kind of to do a South by Southwest sort of event.
South by Southwest is this Texas conference / festival kind of thing.
Yeah, it's in Austin. It's like a 10-day conference, and it brings like 36,000 people to it.
Yeah, I haven't been, but I've heard.
Now, we're not looking to do a 10-day event and have 36,000 people come, but the scope of what we've done has grown a bit, and this spring now we're actually going to have the first event that starts to touch it at actually doing that. So it's a 4-day destination event, and it's going to be in Bradenton, Florida, on the new Riverwalk complex. The Riverwalk's about a mile and a half right along the Manatee River, which is absolutely beautiful.
I've been there, it's nice.
Yeah, anchored on one end by the South Florida Museum and the Bishop Planetarium, and there's several like music amphitheaters along the way. There's a world-class skateboard park. There's a boat docking area. There's several playgrounds. Actually, we have Disney playground equipment on the playground. So it's really, really nice.
I want to check out the skateboard park.
Yeah. And I mean, it's extensive. It's actually underneath the highway, so it's a really interesting location.
Wow.
And it's been really popular since it opened last fall.
So there's a venue there that you can use on the Riverwalk.
Well, there's several things that are really close. We're going to use the new Manatee Players Theater for part of our conference. There's a set of rooms upstairs there that aren't going to be done in time for our conference, as it turns out, which is the first weekend in May, so May 2nd to 5th. And so we're a little bit venue challenged right now. I think we're trying to figure out exactly where to put the bar camp, because we're going to need about 10 rooms. And some open space area,
right?
Yeah, so we're working on it. It's coming along, but during the 4 days, we're going to do the thing that's really going to be different is on Thursday we're going to do a coding for charities sort of a give camp style event.
I'm a big fan of give camps.
Yeah, where we're going to actually work for Realize Bradenton, which is the Arts and Culture Council that actually put the Riverwalk together, and they need a scheduling system for like the back end scheduling. So they can coordinate services, you know, between the police department and the public works and you know, the project management teams that put events together in their public spaces. So it's not the public facing side of it, it's the back end of it that handles their logistics. And we're gonna do a little bit more than just a day of coding. We're gonna put some architecture on the front end of it. We're planning on using .Anuk as the platform, PowerDN as a platform provider that's sponsoring it. And they're actually launching a community platform in the spring, so we're probably going to take advantage of that as well. So as much as we can have in the box, you know, with the platform, it's going to be really helpful.
Oh yeah.
And then, yeah, then we're going to try to have some guys who are actually working on the same kind of software, building it commercially. They're going to help architect this thing for Realize Bradenton, and we're going to bring a team of developers and hopefully a group of MVPs in to help out with this. But we're also setting up a .NET curriculum at a local technical institute, and you know, so it's like a job retraining thing for veterans and for people who want to get into programming. So we're setting this up, and we're actually going to use the students then as a feeder for this program, so they can get hands-on practical experience, and it doesn't become just a one-day event. It's something that we can actually make sustainable over time. So that's one day. Kind of got big plans around that, and that process will evolve over the next couple of years.
We've already decided it's going to be an annual thing.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's right in the mold of what we've been wanting to do.
Yeah.
Now, the second day is an economic development summit, but it's a bit of a different spin on economic development. So we're gonna have a four panel sessions and a keynote. And the keynote is Jim Steichleather, who's the Chief Innovation Officer from Dell. And he actually came to the RNC in Tampa this spring.
Republican National Convention.
Yeah, Republican National Convention. And he spoke there to a national crowd, and Sarah met him. And he's just incredible. I mean, he's got great ideas. So the thing that we're going to do during the panels that day is disruptive technologies and disruptive business models.
Disruptive. Define disruptive.
So it's things that are not traditional. It's like taking technology that comes out of a research university and spinning it into a commercial company and creating a new industry out of it. There was a local company called Medi in Sarasota that makes medical simulators, and they kind of invented that out of some technology that came out of one of the state universities, and they grew it into a world-class business. And since the guys who started the company have exited, and it's been taken over by another company now, but they built something and built an entire industry around this. And that's the kind of thing is looking at doing things differently. And there's a lot of entrepreneurs in Florida, and people are all the time spinning something up. You know, and there's also in Florida a lot of people that have come there with money, and they get tired of fishing and golfing pretty quick. They want to get back in the game, so they either end up starting companies up again, or they become angel investors, or they join boards of companies and help develop them. There's a
for those folks to be welcome to maybe fund some of these. What was the word you used? The disruptive
technology. Yeah. So it's kind of a neat concept that we've got, and so the four panels then. One is a funding panel. We're actually going to have several angel groups and investment people to talk during that first panel session. Another one will be, Mike O'Donnell moved from Seattle down to the Florida area, and he's moved his company down. He's bringing something called the Founder Institute, which is essentially an accelerator for starting up, for creating startups. It's a 14-week program, and I just got accepted into the program, and we'll be starting that in April. And he actually came to Florida and essentially did some due diligence. His dad lives in Northport, Florida, which is a little south of the Tampa Bay region. So he's come out to help his dad sort of get into life, and he did this due diligence. He wanted to find out whether he actually wanted to move to Florida or not. And he talked to 100 people in 6 weeks and really kind of ran through what is Florida got and how does it work and what's the environment here, and he decided to move. He actually brought his startup company over, and he's bringing the Founder Institute, and he's looking to also bring the angel network with him as well. So he'll be talking about this due diligence process and what Florida's got and what Florida needs, kind of from an outside, somebody who's just recently come but has a lot of experience with. He's a serial entrepreneur with funding and stuff.
I see.
And then the third will be we'll bring all the state universities, who have research programs, USF, University of South Florida, University of Central Florida, and University of Florida. So those are the big three kind of in the central part of the state. And they all have research and innovation programs. So we're going to bring representatives from the universities and representatives from companies that are actually starting and bringing technology out of the university and commercializing it. Mm-hmm. Talk about how that process works. So that's sort of that this disruptive piece that we're doing. That's, and then the last one will be really interesting. Florida is a huge state. I mean, it's long, and it takes a long time to drive from corner to corner, you know, on the order of like 12 hours. So it's bigger than you think across. But it's not very wide, though. You can drive across it in about 2 hours. But sprinkled around Florida are all these pockets of entrepreneurism and what we call microclimates.
No, you were talking about that yesterday. Yeah, I never heard that term before.
Microclimate.
Economic climate.
Well, economic and social. Okay. We were down in Miami a couple weekends ago for a code camp, and we went to the Lab Miami, which is a co-working space, and we got to talking to some of the guys there, and like one of them recently moved from Silicon Valley, and he loves the big city Miami, you know, with the tall buildings, you know, because he's kind of used to a city environment. Another fellow just moved from New York, and he likes this urban cool urban chic feel. There's a neighborhood near Miami called Wynwood that I guess some people would call it graffiti, but it's really building art. I mean, the whole place is painted. It's their arts and culture district. So there are lots of co-working spaces there. And he says, you know, I get this urban feel. And, you know, so this is another sort of little microclimate. And if you like, you know, family, very family-oriented and a very southern feel, you go to Jacksonville. You go to, and, you know, Tampa kind of gives you another sort of an urban feel, but you can still get on your boat, you know, at lunchtime.
A little bit more laid back than Miami, right? Yeah.
And Orlando's got the whole Disney scene and, you know, the
tourism.
The design, yeah, tourism and really design, you know, gaming companies, EA is there and
entertainment arts.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, so there's lots of different places. You know, Sarasota is on the West Coast, which is, you know, it's a little bit more laid back and very, 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 very nice. I mean, I live in paradise and not looking to go anywhere.
My cousin lives there, so it's
So, you know, so so what we say about Florida is we know what you want, have what you need. I mean, somewhere in Florida is something, you know, is a place for everyone. And we've got a really vibrant business and technology community there. It's probably one of the hottest .NET communities in the nation. You know, a lot of that is due to Joe Healy, who's the local Microsoft.
Devfish,
yeah. You know, Joe is just awesome. And he's really created this climate of innovation around .NET.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I actually went to Florida 4 times to speak at the various conferences. Yeah. I'm really impressed by the code camps and the tech ed was there last year, and that's not a coincidence.
Right.
It's not just because of the weather, but
and really across the state, there's this great feel and this great camaraderie among the people, even in these dispersed geographic areas. You know, so that sort of thing really helps to grow that. So.
And you're looking to expand what you're doing to a much broader reach, aren't you?
Right. So let me come right back to that in a second. I want to finish with the 4 days of events.
Oh, yeah. What day are we on now?
So actually, we have the Economic Development Summit on Friday. Then we have the traditional bar camp on Saturday.
The one day. Talking about that. That's a lot of open space type round table discussions.
Young conference,
where we decide the topic on the day of the event.
Panels, you know, people do market research. You know, they'll do a session in the morning, get some feedback from the audience, and give another session in the afternoon with the updated. You know, it's a very, very interactive kind of a process. I found it really cool. And then and then Sunday there's going to be a U.S. Green Builders Council is having an expo, and they're having bands come out. So we're gonna play with them and actually do a music festival day.
Nice.
On Sunday. So we've got 4 days of events. They're all very different sorts of events.
Yeah.
So the thing that's happening here is that this isn't just a bar camp anymore.
Right.
This is much more than just a bar camp. So we're jumping out of our bar camp skin.
Right.
And the bar camps, our bar camp event, which is Bar Camp Sarasota Bradenton, we've expanded the scope a little bit by including Bradenton now, which is basically, Sarasota and Bradenton touch each other. There's really no space between them. So they're almost like one city, but there's a distinct feel between them. And so our bar camp events are gonna stay just the same as they are. They're free to the public. They're open. They're inclusive. It's all sponsor driven. Nobody gets paid. Nobody pays to come to it. Nobody gets paid to speak or anything. It's total community. We're creating another entity called Spark Growth. And Spark Growth is a little bit bigger picture thing where we're going to run things like the Economic Development Summit.
Okay.
This last December, as part of the Gulf Coast Venture Forum, which is an angel investor network in Southwest Florida, we did a due diligence day at the Microsoft office in Tampa, and we had a panel, and then we had with six panelists who are highly experienced in the due diligence process. So it was what investors want and what entrepreneurs need to have. So three of the speakers were oriented toward the entrepreneur, and three were oriented toward the investor. And then we had breakouts, and each of them spoke. So we had six sessions during the day and two tracks. So that's the kind of thing that we're going to do. And run the economic development summits, where we've done a bunch of asset mapping. This is like entrepreneurial asset mapping. We've been involved in asset mapping processes. But the problem is that they're often sponsored by localized organizations. So you tend to get the assets mapped around a region, maybe
right.
A couple, three-county region, but that doesn't connect with what else is going on in the state. So.
So if you're looking for a different microclimate than what's that happens,
or you're looking for resources, you're looking for for entrepreneurial service organizations, ESOs. Those could be IP lawyers. They could be it could be accelerators or incubators. It could be design services. Web development companies. It could be production companies. And whatever is needed for a startup. Business services. CTO services. Things like that. And there's lots and lots of people who provide all the above, but they don't tend to be in big companies. They tend to be small outfits, and they're spread all over the place. And finding them becomes a real challenge.
Sure.
So we've been involved in starting to build a database of all these resources, and that's one of the things that we want to start building up through Spark Growth. And so we're expanding the scope, and one of the things that we're able to do is work across the silos that the local economic development organizations or the entrepreneurial support organizations have, because they tend to have these geopolitical boundaries. They work in a particular geographic area, or their funding comes from a county government, and they have objectives that are really localized, or something. There's always these limitations that go on. So we've been doing events, leadership events. We bring community leaders together across the state and talk about how we can help each other. And we've been doing this all sort of as Bar Camp, but it's not really Bar Camp that was doing
right.
it. It was Sarah and I and a few other people that are really passionate about building community. And we've been doing this as a hobby. So now we're going to actually make a business out of doing this.
Okay.
And we've been asked a number of times to do projects, by EDOs or by like a high tech corridor, which is sort of a Central Florida economic development, cross state organization, to build communities, like in rural areas, for example, to put on events and start to bring entrepreneurs together in parts of the state where there's no activity going on.
And because you have so much free time.
Yeah.
And you've said, sure, of course, I'd be glad to do that.
Well, in the past, we've said, yeah, we can do that, but we can't because we don't have a way of being paid for doing
right,
what we have.
Yeah.
And we really need to be able to get paid to do events like that.
Right.
I mean, things that we're doing locally. So last year, during Global Entrepreneurship Week in November, we were involved in 8 different events, and we ran 4 of them. One of them was a TEDx event, TEDx Sarasota. We actually produced the TEDx event that month, and it was Why Entrepreneurship Matters, and sort of Why Here, Why Now, and it was great. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. We did some exercises with the audience that got them really engaged in this idea of how do you take an idea and start up with it. We actually had 10 teams. They had 15 minutes they got 2 random words, and they had to use those words as part of their business plan. And they had 15 minutes to put together a pitch, and then they had 1 minute to pitch it. And
like technology and friends is between the
yeah.
two together.
And it was absolutely remarkable what came out of those teams in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And people were just energized by it. Now we need a conduit to take that out into the world. Those you get people generating ideas and getting fired up about it. Where do you go from there?
Okay.
How do you make something happen?
And this is going to be the mission of this Spark thing that you're building.
Well, that's the kind of thing that we're looking at doing now. We hope to find, like county governments, who want to take some of these ideas and build things out locally, or the economic development organization locally, or finding foundations that are interested in in community building to fund some of this stuff. And we're actually getting quite a bit of interest right now as we talk across those groups, also with some private investors, and we're getting a pretty fair amount of interest right now in getting this going. So we're doing this four-day destination event in the spring, and then during Global Entrepreneurship Week this fall. Oh, by the way, just those eight events that we were involved in last year, Sarah got invited to the World Congress for the Global Entrepreneurship Week in Rio.
Oh, nice.
Out of the bit of work that we did, how we presented Florida internationally.
And, very nice.
You know, unfortunately, probably won't be able to go this year, but maybe next. You know?
Look, I could take a place if it's a problem.
So I volunteered to be honest. It isn't going to happen, though. So during Global Entrepreneurship Week, we're looking to work, you know, with the counties up and down. Our initial plan was sort of between Tampa Bay and Naples, which is the west coast of southwest coast of Florida, and actually do an event in each of the counties there for Global Entrepreneurship Week.
Okay.
And essentially putting that part of the state or that part of the country on the map internationally.
Okay.
You know, taking what we did last year to a bigger picture level. So, and then when we were in Miami, we were talking to several startup type groups, and they were like, wow, that's a fantastic idea. Can we extend it and do it on this side of the state at the same time?
So clearly there's a pent-up demand for this.
Oh, a huge demand for it.
Sort of implies that nobody's doing it right now, at least not in Florida.
Right.
Is that right?
That's
is anybody doing it anywhere else?
Not, well, I think that there are, there's a lot of people are reading the book, Startup Communities now, okay. That Brad Feld wrote, and he's done Techstars and a bunch of things out in the Boulder area. And okay. You get this idea of the Boulder thesis and how you build a startup community, how you connect people together. You actually have to, in my words, what you need is, you need a bunch of channels to communicate to people on, whether it be social media or email list or forums or, events of all sorts.
Sure.
And then you have to refresh those channels constantly. You have to, pass back and forth on them. You got to constantly work the channels, and you got it, because different people connect in different ways.
Sure.
So I think there is some of this kind of stuff going on out in some of the, the bigger startup communities, like Silicon Valley, obviously, and New York and Chicago and Austin and Boston, places like that have ways of connecting the communities together.
Okay.
But Florida really doesn't have connectors. There tends to be geographic groups, but not too much that goes on to connect them across the state. And that's what we're really trying to do, is we're trying to build, work across the silos, those geographic silos and things. And it's amazing when we bring leaders of communities together. We don't ask them to say what you do. What we ask instead is to say what you need. Here's the challenges we've got. Here's the problems that we have in our community. And it's amazing how all of a sudden somebody from a what you might call a competing community will stand up and say, I have a way to solve that problem. Let's talk together.
Right.
And then you see these guys collaborating, and all of a sudden we're starting to build bridges across communities.
That's good for the local economy, both countries.
Yeah, and this collaboration brings people together, and it solves problems in a broader way than you can do just by working on your own thing.
So let me ask you about the business side of this. What's the revenue stream that you're going to make?
Well, initially we're looking for it to become self-sufficient by running events.
So you would charge the local development organization a fee for you to come in and manage this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that we've been offered several different times. And the money can come from a number of different places, but we're actually looking to get some foundation funding and probably some private equity to get started with it, sort of friends and family for us. Neither of our families actually has any money, so it's really more friends.
I told you should have married Rich. Too late now.
Well, I dated Rich for a while, but he and I didn't get together and get along that well. just kidding. But
we're off track here. Let's wrap up.
Sure.
I want to, before you go, I want to find out how do people find out about that four-day event that's coming up?
Well, right now, we're actually working on the sponsorship part of it and
is there a URL
on the website. So bcsrq.com is our event site that is for the BarCamp event.
Okay.
We're working on a Spark Growth website right now, but we don't. It's up, sparkgrowth.net.
Okay.
It doesn't really have much content on it yet.
Right.
There's more of a statement of what we're looking to do, but we don't have the agenda. But we're putting some Eventbrite links up so that we can start getting registrations. The BarCamp registration is open, and we're working on the economic developments on it now. And then the other two things, the coding event won't have registration in the same way because it's going to be a much smaller, more focused thing.
Okay. Obviously, developers. So people just show up.
And the music festival is just a y'all come. You know, yeah. you don't need RSVP for that. Just come and have a good time.
I feel a lot of people might just show up for that last day.
Well, that's what we're hoping is that we've got a lot of friends in essentially across the state, and they're always looking for interesting events to come to. So this destination and block out some hotel rooms and have a really good time that weekend.
Excellent. Do you have an online presence yourself?
My blog is stanschultes.net, although I have to say that I haven't been working on my blog for a while. I've been putting all my energy in the community. I speak at the code camps and I run the Sarasota Dev. It's a Sarasota.net developer group. And I'm involved with, I'm on the board of directors for the Suncoast Technology Forum, which is a business tech community in Sarasota. And I'm the liaison to the high-tech corridor through STF, and I work with the Gulf Coast Venture Forum, Investor Network, and BarCamp, and now we're starting Spark Growth. And all that stuff is my community work. I don't get paid for it.
It's all in your spare time.
It's all
in
my spare
day
time.
Job as well.
And I have a full-time job during the day. Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
I love this. It's we've been talking about how to turn this into something that can support us, and we're finally getting an inkling of how to do that. BarCamp was not the right way to you don't make money on a BarCamp. It's totally a free community thing, but we had we looked for a long time at how to do that, and it's just not the right answer. So Spark Growth, I think, is the right answer.
Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that you took some really good ideas that came out of BarCamp and you applied them. You didn't throw away what you learned.
And we've been doing a lot of market research, talking to a lot of people who run communities and how they do it, and how they where their revenue streams come from, and how do you talk to a foundation? Where do you look for grants? Who do you talk to? How do you find these folks? So we're learning. Maybe we'll write a book next.
All right, Stan. Good luck.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Some of my best friends are in technology, and I think it's a great place to be. I'm a technologist myself, and it's a wonderful world to live in. And we do come out of the closet sometimes to visit the rest of the world, but I think it's wonderful.